welcome to another edition of the Minnesota Beercast. I am Drew. That is my co-host Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
How you doing, buddy?
Great.
Good, good, good. We are recording live. essentially the newest addition to the Twin Cities beer scene.
Yeah, absolutely. We are at the lab.
I mean, it doesn't get any fresher than us here right now.
Or 3 days ago if you're listening to this.
Well,
but you're recording live, so.
He's always contrarian. He's always going to argue with me.
It was fresh 3 days ago.
He's like the king of the well actuallys.
I should have been a lawyer.
Yet, here we are.
This is really exciting. This is fun. I'm really excited to be here at the lab to talk with Matt and Janet about what's going on and what's experiencing here. So let's cut to the chase. Let's introduce our guests, get a little bit of history. And then talk about the future of what's going on here at the lab. So welcome to the show, Matt and Janet.
Thank you. Well,
thanks, Drew. Thanks, Schmitty.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with, both your histories in beer and the beverage industry, and take it from there. Let's start with Janet. This is kind of your baby, right?
Well, how far back do you want to go?
Start at the beginning.
So I grew up in Milwaukee, if that tells you anything about how I got started in beer.
That's a big indicator of
you
where we're going.
You were steeped in beer.
Steeped in beer. I remember my mom having us drive by Pabst and Miller and making us roll down the windows when you had to roll the windows down,
right?
And smell the yeast and the beer. And so my first job out of college, I came up here for college, and first job out of college was at Minnesota Brewing Company on West 7th Street. And it made me happy when I walked in for my interview and I could smell beer and I was like, this is where I should be. And so that's how we started. So at Minnesota Brewing, about 80% of the beer that was made there was contract manufactured products.
Yep.
So private labels for Trader Joe's. Eventually we were the first U.S. manufacturer of Mike's Hard Lemonade in the country. And we quickly, they ramped up to 10 million cases. Long story short, they didn't put in the right equipment. The brewery went bankrupt because of the debt service on the brewery. And people asked us to help them find new contract manufacturing. And so we started what was called Production Services International. We've renamed it as BevSource. So that's how BevSource got started 17 years ago. And so there's about 50 of us out in Little Canada that help people find homes for different beverages, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. And we continue to have a need for new beers and new IPAs and things like that, and that's where I met Matt Hall, and you can take it from here.
So kind of going that far back, I grew up in St. Paul, and out my window I could see the neon sign for the old Schmidt Brewery. But kind of fast forward to 22 years, I first landed actually working and fun times here. I get to work with Geraldine Kozlowski again at the old Stroh's Brewery in St. Paul. I was a lab technician for a couple years until they closed their doors, and then from there went to Siebel, and then had a 7-year stint in Wisconsin at the Stevens Point Brewery, brewed for a small brewery out in Hawaii, and then in California, came back to raise kids in Stillwater, and helped open up Liftbridge Brewery in 2010, and then most recently, here the last couple years, helping out Jan and the crew over at BevSource, and I'm very excited that this idea has come to fruition, and now we have the lab.
So let's talk about
2 hours ago.
Let's talk about the iteration of the lab and how it plays into, I guess, BevSource as a whole and what it means to your company. And maybe let's start with an overall idea of what BevSource is, and then kind of talk about how the lab plays into that.
Sure. So BevSource really is for beverage entrepreneurs who are really innovators and they have great ideas, but want someone else to implement it. So we do everything from beverage development to all the operations. So we will do all the supply chain, we do the ordering, we go on site for production to make sure that the product matches the control samples, we analyze the inventory, we do the back end customer service, deliver orders, and for a handful of clients we do all of their bookkeeping too, so that our entrepreneurs can really focus on the sales and marketing, and you know, we can focus on all the nitty gritty details. And so that's kind of how it came to fruition, is we're doing a lot of development work for clients, and we had a need for small pilot brewing, and we've tried some other options like colleges and things like that, but it just wasn't a reliable avenue for us and our clients to take, because they're schools and they're learning and they're not on a schedule like, you know, some of our clients are on schedules. And
sure.
So there was a need for that. And so we kind of vetted, with Matt's help, vetted out some different models. Like, do we put in a small one-barrel system? And then it kind of snowballed. It was a one-barrel system, then a seven-barrel system, and it's turned into this.
So if Drew has an idea for a pineapple guava hard seltzer.
I thought you were going to say milkshake IPA.
That's already been done. Would he be able to bring a proposal to BevSource, and would you guys be able to flush that idea kind of through your expertise? What would that process kind of look like?
Absolutely. That's what we do all day, every day. And where we think it's most important is most people come to us and want to formulate something day one, and we actually take a step back and see the end game, right? So if you want to get it on shelf for $3.99 or, you know, $12.99, a 12-pack or whatever it might be, let's start there and then back into the formulation, because you may end up being in cans or glass or using a different base or maybe not all natural flavors. But knowing where your end game is kind of where we like to start. And then once we know that formulation, and is it malt-based or spirit-based or OTS wine-based, all of those have different components, and, you know, it depends what your vision is for the product and maybe what your marketing claims are and things like that. And so based on that, then we start the formulation process, and that's really where Matt and helps out here, and then we have a team back at BevSource that does the same thing.
Very nice. You mentioned kind of doing the books for some of your customers as well, and I've known Drew for a while, and he's not the best at business.
Oh, boy.
What are you talking about? Think of all the coin we've made off this show. Oh, wait.
Is that something you guys counsel on as well? Is the business of beverage, or is it really more towards the product and production-based side of the business?
So we don't do general management of products, but we do. Our finance team is strong. Becky Dulac is our vice president of finance. Jennifer Cornett came from Buffalo Wild Wings, so really strong on the financial side. And it's really like having a partial, like a timeshare CFO and accounting staff. So most of our clients don't need a full-time accounting staff. And, you know, we've already ordered the product. We've spec'd it. We know how many you got in. And so it's easy for us to then cross-reference that and then pay the bill, because we know what the price should have been. So that's an easy answer for our clients.
And so how does the creation of the lab play into the overall mission of BevSource? Because it's kind of a neat thing to walk into the lab here and see. I mean, it's an impressive facility.
Yeah, it's gorgeous in here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I wish I could take credit, but that's what architects are for. but yeah, I mean, I think the entire vision for BevSource in general is, you know, we really want to be known by all beverage companies, and we haven't been. Like, you know, for some entrepreneurs we're known, but this really, I think, helps put us on the map. So we have a small 7-barrel brewing facility that we can experiment with different yeasts and come out with the next spike seltzer type products and things like that, or the next hard kombuchas, because we have the facility to be able to do that for some of our large clients and small clients, and even for some of the craft brewers. You know, we helped craft brewers in the past, but not to the extent that I think we can do that now by helping them test brew, but also helping them with the quality assurance lab, both micro and analytics. And so really getting to know all beverage companies, this was an important stage in growing the business there.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the lab aspect, and that's one of the things that I would love to talk to you more about after we take a quick break. You're listening to the Minnesota Beer Cast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Beer Cast. We are recording at the lab, grand opening day of the lab over in St. Paul, right off of Eustis Street, right by 94.
94 and 280?
Yes.
Yeah.
that is accurate.
In case you're not sure where Eustace is, it's a nice location. What made you guys decide to build the lab here off of 94 and 280?
As we look at each other. So we love the location. As a quality laboratory for the Twin Cities, we want to obviously be somewhere central, easy to get to, easy on, easy off. And then Matt can answer the other reason why I wanted this building as a place.
Well, I think it's, well, we looked at a couple buildings, and the one thing that we kept on going back to is just parking. And having space and being in an accessible area. I mean, this, it doesn't really get more accessible than this. It's easy on, easy off. But then we have ample parking. We're a couple blocks from the Green Line, so easy to get to, easy to park.
Yeah, it's great. We did a team building event for the Vikings game last year. Walk down a block, jump on, jump off, super easy. The other thing we're excited about with this building is there's a large shed kind of covered area in the back that we'll be using for music festivals, beer launch parties. People keep talking that they want some sort of midway festival, and I think this will be the home for that.
You've got the space out there for an event.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very easily. You could put some booths, put some stage, do all sorts of stuff out there. You've got a lot of room to work with.
Yep, and there's a lot going on in this area too, the Weyerhaeuser building. I think they're putting in 800 apartments over there, so kind of a growing neighborhood. And
that's like 1,600 new customers.
That's right.
No, it's nice to see this area kind of get, I guess, more mixed use. You know, for a long time, I think when people drove past, you know, this kind of corner, you would think of it as really just industrial, but hearing that they're going to put those condos in, and to see places like the Lab build up here, it's definitely a mixed use zone now. So it's kind of nice to see, you know, the different things get put into the area. So
yeah, you actually notice it now, whereas I think you just got onto 94 and
right.
And exactly. You guys have the self-serve wall, you know, where you throw in your card and
you do
your own pours. What was the reason behind including that?
So we wanted to give people a way to experiment with as much or as little as they wanted without having to talk to a bartender. You know, if you wanted to try maybe a kombucha or a spiked seltzer, but you didn't want a whole pint or ask for a taste. So that really allows us to let people do that. Probably the most important reason, too, is it's fun, right?
It
Who
is
doesn't
fun.
Want to pour their own beer?
Like, I know. It's kind of cool.
It's kind of fun. So, like, we give stickers to people that say that they poured their own, like, you know. And
Schmitty's going to argue with
he's
me.
He's over there smirking because he made me go pour his beer earlier.
It's also fun to watch people pour their own beer, too. So.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a little intimidated,
well,
Schmitty.
We discovered that there's safeties built in to the system here.
You've ran into the safety already today?
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
apparently
yeah.
I have a
That's kind of how I do.
Oh, we've given you a limit.
I limit.
I get a bit reckless, and it's opening day. So if you pour too much beer, it cuts you off.
How much did you try to pour?
Well, it's opening day. I'm sorry. I was buying everybody around. But it's neat to see that with technology, it's not just, hey, have at her. There's safeties built in.
Absolutely.
So talk about the wall tenders, because not only is there technologies built in to make sure that you're not going off the rails, but you get kind of a guided experience too.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people, you know, when looking at the self-serve systems in the area, you know, the pitch from the self-serve people, it'll save you labor, right? You don't need people to pour beer. Well, that's not the case. We really want people to know about beer, so we have wall tenders that will educate you on beer, show you how to pour beer. You can ask them lots of questions. It's an interesting dynamic as we've seen it unfold in the last just week or so as people have been here for some happy hours. But you're a lot closer to that person than a bartender, so that they feel like you're more approachable and they ask you lots more questions. And so it's been fun to watch that unfold, and people really want to learn more, and this is a great venue for it.
Yeah, they're also, I mean, they're very knowledgeable in beer and the beer that we're pouring, but it's just another element. Then on the screen too, you can learn more about that beer, its particulars. It's really a fun experience.
It is fun. I mean, it's different, and I mean, that's kind of, you know, the thing that a lot of craft beer folks and aficionados and that we like that. We like new things. We like different things. We like experimenting. So it's a neat addition. I'm glad you guys have it.
Awesome.
It's kind of a symptom of the craft beer lover. It's new, shiny.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I want more.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's 12 taps, and you pay by the ounce. And so you're not relegated to a flight that was predetermined for you. You can have as much, well, apparently up to a set.
That's
or true. As little as you want. So there may be, it does inspire kind of creativity and looking for maybe something that you wouldn't normally order.
I would be, just speaking, you know, as a consumer, I would be 100% more apt to try something in that environment, you know, than I would ordering a pint or, you know, putting it in a flight or something like that. Yeah. You know, if I know I'm only going to get a limited amount of this or that, you know, with that, I'm going to, well, I'll take a 2 ounces of it, 3 ounces of it, just to try something new.
Yeah, we did a trial run last night, and it was fun to look at the sales by ounce this morning. No surprise, your favorite New England IPA took number one. But it was fun because I think the alcoholic kombucha was like in fourth place because I think people just wanted to try it.
Yeah, you know? It makes sense.
So are you guys getting used the lab as a bit of a, I guess maybe an R&D for BevSource to do some I guess, research in the way of, you know, we find that this works well with kombucha. We're seeing, you know, this is a highly sought after type of wheat beer. This is what we're finding moves well in New England IPA. How is the beer experimentation going to play out here at the lab, and how does that play into BevSource's mission, Matt? Did I put you on the spot?
Well, as right now, the experience is really new. So we are looking at developing an app where customers can come in and they can rank their choice. They can leave comments. There'll be a list of questions that they can answer. We'll be able to look into preference. We'll look at customers then can provide feedback. We're not really looking to bombard them right out of the gate right now. So you come in, experience, give it a shot. It's a lot of fun just sampling. But then between, as Janet was saying, we have the visibility into what's selling. We'll have that feedback. There may be, so you can kind of, with 12 different varieties, you can see, I mean, say a category, we may have three IPAs on at one time. Which style of IPA might kind of rise to the top? What might be a preference? Yeah, you'll also be able to see what other products were on tap and how that product compares to another. So I think that there's a lot that's going to kind of come out of having the tap wall and having that experience.
I like that. I think it's fun. I think it's neat to have that value to be able to provide to your customers. And I think it's neat from the consumer side to be able to provide feedback to, you know, the producers where, hey, you know, this is what I really enjoyed out of this IPA, you know, and here's what I didn't care so much for out of maybe this other IPA. And not necessarily in any sort of, you know, beer judge type of way, but this is what I like and this is what I don't like. And it doesn't have to be an extremely critical type of experience, but this is just my feedback as someone who comes in to order a beer.
Yeah, I should note that all of the beer, the only thing that's on the board, on the tap handles, is just the beer, just the style. There are no names attached to them. It's just Wheat Beer 101 or IPA 101. So. It's really unbiased feedback.
It might be interesting in a few months to kind of compare the data that you get, you know, from the wall, where you can really literally measure it by ounce, and compare that to what people are ordering at your bar and see if there's any differences. And, like, you know, if it is indeed true that people are going to be more inclined to get a little more experimental, but when they can pour their own as opposed to when they're asking the beer tender, you know, for a pint or whatever.
Right. And what we're looking forward to when we launch the app is if people are rating certain products, with obviously the brand owner's permission, we probably will tell you what that is at some point. You know, if it's the next, you know, craft beer, local craft beer, maybe it's a big name brand, or maybe it's a startup that hasn't even launched their brick and mortar, and maybe you're invited to their grand opening or you got a t-shirt or something, so that you actually know what your feedback went towards. Because, yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of, here, we're just going to take your feedback just to take feedback, and then you really, like, I think consumers really want to know that they were a part of something, and, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, you do the crowdfunding thing, you get that final prototype, so.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. I want to run through the beers that are here. We haven't done that yet. I actually talked about all the different beers that you're offering up, because there's a fantastic selection up there, and we'll do that in the next segment, and then we're going to do a segment with bad weather coming up here right towards the end of the show, so stick around. This is the Minnesota Beer Cast. To the Minnesota Beer Cast, recording at the Lab over in St. Paul. A really cool place. Make sure to get out here and check it out as soon as possible. We're going to run through some of the beers that you can check out while you're here in just a moment. But first, I do want to remind you guys that there's still some spots available.
Time and spots are running out quick, Drew.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Yeah, we're almost right up to the deadline.
Yeah, we are. I think we are about a week out, maybe 2 weeks out from the deadline. So if you're interested in coming along with us to Oktoberfest, Munich, Salzburg in Germany, it's going to be the end of October, just the very beginning of September.
What I would recommend is, like, if you're, you know, a business owner or something, you know, pick like 3 or 4 or 5 of your favorite employees and bring them along.
Make it a write-off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Company
make it,
trip.
You know.
That's how this idea got started. I wrote the business plan on the way back from Oktoberfest 2 years ago.
See, amazing things happen at Oktoberfest. You don't want to miss this. This is going to be an incredible trip. So go to beercasttrip.com or go to the Minnesota Beercast Facebook page or minnesotabeercast.com. You can find all the links to sign up there.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic trip. It's put together by our good friend Michael over at Define Destinations, and it's going to be a fantastic trip. We would love to have you join us, and go check out the website and find out more.
Please.
Let's get back to the show. When we left off, we were talking about all the wonderful stuff happening here at the lab. And one of the things that we really haven't talked much about is really the science of what you guys have going on here at the lab. Can you get into that a little bit, Matt, and tell us really about how this is going to benefit the beverage industry and how you're going to bring science into a greater role here?
Sure. So not only is it a fun place to come in and try different beers and different non-alcoholic products, but we also wear the name The Lab, so it wouldn't be The Lab without having a lab. And it was a resource when I first started in the industry that I really kind of took for granted. Working at Stroh's, a very large brewery, we had a lot of resources available at our fingertips to make consistent and quality products. And as I moved around, that was one of my key jobs when I was with the Stevens Point Breweries, to build out the lab. But when I worked for smaller breweries, that just really didn't really have the resources to put
some small breweries don't even have a lab. Like, I've seen the lab, it's the broom closet.
I know, but it's expensive to build. I mean, whatever industry it is, it's expensive to get up and running. And we wanted to, so looking at building the lab and having a fully outfitted lab that's about the equivalent of what you'd find in about a 70,000 barrel plus brewery, to help kind of the R&D side and support development, but then also as a resource for area craft brewers, area breweries and beverage companies, that they have more options than for support. So
that was going to be one of my questions. Was like, you know, if I'm Drew and I'm doing my pineapple guava hard seltzer, and maybe I've taken you know, the lead and I'm doing production on my own, but I don't have the space or the revenue or the expertise to hire somebody to run my lab full time, you know, is coming to you guys and having you run some samples through, is that something that they'd be able to take advantage of?
It is, and we've found there's a lot of interest, and it can be, you can do as little as much as you would like. So one thing that seems to be very popular is looking to have maybe a quarterly test, a full test on, run the full spectrum of tests on their beer, and then they can take those results back and kind of collaborate to see if that may, if that's the results they're getting. Nowadays, too, with nutritional facts panel and right to know, people are looking. Now you got to put more information on a label. So a lot of beers out there, they're claiming alcohol content. You got to be careful. You may want to make sure that what you're putting on your label or putting on your package is indeed true.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned kombucha a couple times, and I think kombucha is supposed to be pretty low in alcohol content. And everybody I talk to, you know, always with a wink and a nod, yep, pretty low. But it's, you know, it's it, you mentioned the nutrition factor as well. There's been rumblings for a while now that larger breweries are going to push for the nutrition content to be put on labeling for brewers. And if that happens, it's going to be really, really difficult for small brewers to be able to put that data onto their labeling. And maybe you can explain how big a challenge that would be, because that's something really we haven't covered on the show before, but it'd be a really huge challenge, would it not?
Right now it is. It's affecting some of the larger breweries, but I think it's really just kind of a matter of time. I think people want to know, and so that's it's just pretty soon it may be a requirement. But not only that, we're looking to provide data so that they can take back to their brewery, their facility, to continue if they're looking at increasing consistency.
It's information they should want anyway, is it not?
Yeah.
And for breweries that are, you know, 30,000 barrels or less, it's tough to have a full-time staff person, right? You don't need a full-time quality person if you're a 2,000 barrel brewery. You know,
yeah.
So we have Jerry Kostolsky, who's got 57 years of brewing chemistry. Is on staff.
Not going to find anybody better.
You're not going to find anybody better, personality-wise either. I keep calling her the godmother of quality. And then we have Hannah Craig, who is our microbiologist, so we can test all of the micros in-house. And like Matt said, we have all of the equipment. You know, it's probably upwards of $250,000 in equipment and two full-time staff that people can really test their quality as little or as often as they want in an affordable budget and do it consistently.
That's good to hear. I think it's sorely needed in this environment, not only with the breweries, but I mean, you guys also service, you know, everybody in the beverage industry, from kombucha to, you know, the hard seltzers that are becoming all the rage, and I'm assuming wineries and distilleries as well, correct?
And cider companies, so we kind of support all.
Can't forget the cideries. Well, let's talk about some of the beer that you guys have on before we run out of time. I had a great stout as we were doing the show here, but why don't we let you kind of guide us through the tap list, Matt, and tell us what you've got on.
Sure. So we like to call it an innovative tap room, but at the same time, it's kind of my goal to, or it's our goal to have a nice spectrum of different products, different beers on tap. Now that could be anything from rich and robust and high ABV to very light and refreshing and low calorie. We're not constrained by flagships and distribution. We're also looking to kind of push the boundaries on what is beer. So a lot of times I think people don't understand that the hard seltzers out in the marketplace are actually beer.
Right.
And then kombucha can also be, can technically be a beer.
Sure.
So we have anything from, as I said, kind of dark and roasty to light and refreshing. Kind of opening May 1st, a lot of our kind of robust high ABV barrel age, fortunately they take some time to make, and probably not the best time to be releasing those as well. So yeah, Drew, you had the New England IPA.
Happy, he's happy.
You'd be very happy.
Yeah, there's an empty glass here.
It was very tasty.
And so kind of experimenting with kind of the New England style. We're looking at also kind of exotic ingredients as well. On the BevStore side, we work a lot with flavor companies, and they really have their finger on the pulse of trending flavors. And so we're looking to incorporate the incorporation of maybe some of those into beer-type products.
Is there anything that you're really anxious to get your mitts on and put into a production environment? I know Drew, you know, he leaked his pineapple, guava,
milkshake IPA, kombucha.
So you can't take that, but is there something that's totally off the wall that people might not expect that you've got in your back pocket?
We have a lot of flexibility with this brew house, so it could be anything from adjunct.
He doesn't want to give it away.
Yeah. Anything from adjunct light lagers. It could be, we have the ability to do cereal cooking, so we could do mashes with some exotic grains. But then again, kind of, it really also depends on kind of our customer base, our partner base, and what they're looking to produce, and seeing if there's a fit here in our tap lineup. So.
Very nice.
We got a little bit of here for everybody. I'm curious to try your red ale with apricot. That sounds amazing. Like mentioned, had the New England IPA, juicy, citrus, really nice. Hit all the right notes. So get down here and start pouring your own.
Yeah, get up to the tap wall, talk to the wall tender.
Yeah.
Get yourself a card and don't do like I did. Do it in moderation and have yourself a beer.
Yeah, don't get yelled at by the machine like happened to Schmitty.
Well, thanks Janet, and thanks, Matt. I appreciate you guys so much for having us. We'll be back after this. We're going to talk to the guys from Bad Weather. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
All right, we're back. We're listening to Minnesota Beercast. This is Schmitty. I left Drew back at the station. We're here at Bad Weather talking with Zach and Joe. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Thanks for having me here. Thanks for the beer.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, so what are we drinking here?
We are getting a sneak peek of one of the new releases we're doing for our Plug Plug Arcade Party. This is our Bohemian Pilsner. We put out this beer, this was Batch 200, if any folks remember that one.
Last year?
Yeah, I think a year ago or so. We kind of made a big deal about special glassware for it. Nice traditional Bohemian Pils, double decocted, long lagering phase. It is fantastic.
What does double decocted mean for the folks that are not?
It's been a while since I homebrewed.
I experimented a little bit in college, yeah. But for the folks who may not realize, what does double decoction mean?
It's kind of a way to get a little bit of extra, some of your heavier like caramelization type flavors from the beer without kind of adding any extra sugars or like, you know, dextrin malt or any of that kind of stuff. You are basically kind of taking your mash and boiling a portion of it and kind of cycling it back. So do that once, throw it back into the greater mash, and then take a portion out again and do it again. And you can do that a couple times. You can do it three times if you want to do triple decoction. It just takes longer and longer every time you want to do that.
It's a longer, more complicated process. The older way that it was done, kind of, you know, As you mentioned, using less ingredients, but getting you a little bit more of the subtle, complex flavors.
A little more flavor, a little more body, and kind of some other stuff that's coming across. And very traditional method of doing some lagers.
Fun. And that's going to be part of the release for the event you guys are having.
Yeah.
It's an arcade event. You guys are calling it the Bad Weather Arcade 3. It's the
Arcade 3.
Yeah, it took a while to come up with that name.
You went going to the lab and really, you know, throw around the ideas.
Marketing company.
This is the third year we've done our outdoor arcade party. So we've done it, I think the first time we did it, it was in April, and then this will be the second year that we've done it kind of in mid-May.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. The weather is generally a little bit better.
You're not allowed to complain about the weather, guys.
No, man.
Sorry.
Not at all. We can blame for it. So it's going to be May 10th, 11th, and 12th. Again, the third year we're doing it. So Bad Weather Arcade, Outdoor Arcade 3. It's 3 days of food, video games.
It's super fun. That's why I wanted to come and talk to you guys about it, because I know I'm not too far away from here, and I bring my kid a couple times now to the arcade, and he's had a blast, dude. It is a super, super fun time. It's very family friendly,
yes.
Which is really good. Yep. There's a lot of people here.
hanging out. Mm-hmm. I know last year when I was here, I saw some friends. Kristen England, his kids were all over the pinball machine, just dominating. It's fun to come and hang out and see other family and other friends just, you know, having a good time and having a couple beers and just relaxing. It's neat to have that environment. What are some of the games you guys are going to have?
We're going to have, so if people have been to the Arcade Party before, it's going to be a lot of the same games, a lot of the kind of the classic arcade games. You know, we'll have the four-player Pac-Man tables. We have skee-ball. We'll have more skee-ball this year. I think generally we've had two skee-ball games this year. We'll have four.
A bit more pinball
this year.
I'm a big fan of like the circus type of setup. Are you going to have kick out some tickets?
No.
I was hoping for maybe like keeping a plastic kazoo, maybe get some sawdust filled monkey I could give to the girlfriend.
Yeah. Maybe for Arcade Party 4.
So a lot of the classic stuff. We're adding darts this year, so we'll have a dart area. We'll have a pong game, I think.
Yeah, four-player pong game. More of the riding games, racing games, which is pretty popular last year.
Yeah, those are always cool, like the Cruisin' USA, stuff like that.
Yeah,
if you can have a couple beers and then race somebody in the Cruisin' USA, that's a classic. Can't beat that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll have our two taproom standbys here, Gauntlet Legends and Turtles will be in the next.
Some fun ones.
I just get visions of Joe like coming into work and like, hey, if anybody needs me, I'll be playing Turtles in Time.
He's got to beat it every time.
One of the things that you guys are doing new this year for the arcade setup is you're going to have restaurant pop-ups.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in the past we've done food trucks. You got to be fed while you play video games. This time we're doing that, but we wanted to add some really awesome local restaurants. Friday we've got Pajarito out, so if you're familiar, that is a pretty rad Mexican restaurant that's just a few blocks away from us on West 7th, and a few blocks the other way is Parlor. So on Saturday, Parlor's coming out and they're going to fry up some burgers, and I think most folks know about Parlor burgers.
If you don't, come educate yourself.
Yes.
Because there's reason to be educated.
Yeah, so it's fun to incorporate those folks that are, you know, new businesses in this area for Parlor. It's just fun to have those guys on.
And guys that we've worked with a couple times now, so it's nice to collaborate with our neighbors down the street.
And you're going to keep the food truck relationships going.
Yep.
You've got ice cream.
People to feed. Yep. M&N ice cream will be here.
Yeah, I know. If you got kids, that was like.
Yeah.
I definitely had to do that last year with the boy who was running around with an ice cream cone in one hand and playing Pac-Man with the other hand. That's always kind of a must do. And you're going to have some barbecue from Northbound, right?
Northbound, that's on Saturday. Sunday we'll have Rulin Strudels, uncle of our head brewer Andy Rulin will be out. Same with the taco truck, Habanero Tacos.
Oh, nice.
They're Sunday and Saturday. Guess I'm working backwards here. Friday night we got, so I mentioned the Pajarito, but also we'll have Pizza Truck, Solo's Pizza, and we'll have, oh goodness me, I'm blanking right now.
Are they, is that the pizza place that's got like the bus?
Yes, so the
because that's awesome.
Yeah, so the bus will be here. Yeah, the brick oven bus.
Yeah.
Med box.
Dude, I was a bit skeptical when I saw the setup.
When it pulled up the first time, and there's a chimney coming out of the top.
Yeah,
of
I'm like, what is? I'm gonna try this Frankenstein pizza, but it's legit.
It's good.
If you like pizza, come check it out. It's worth trying. I have been known to talk a little bit of smack from time to time about some food trucks.
Sure.
But I will tell you. That is awesome.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth trying.
And Medbox is great on Friday too.
Medbox is a good truck.
But what are some of the other beers that you guys are gonna have there? I know we talked briefly about the pills. Are you gonna have any other releases there?
Yeah, so we are gonna have two pills. We'll have the Bohemian pills, and then it's kind of unfiltered cousin Keller pills.
Naturally carbonated.
Yeah, naturally carbonated. So that'll be fun. I think that's the first time we've done a Keller, right?
It is, yeah. We got a new piece of equipment that is actually capturing some of the CO2 during fermentation, repurposing that for the actual carbonation of the beer. So that'll be kind of a fun, traditional
way. You guys are going old school.
Old school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you just need those light lagers to drink. Hopefully it's nice and sunny and warm and outside.
No bad weather here. Bad weather for the arcade.
We've gotten relatively lucky, knock on wood, on our bad weather arcade party weekend. So hopefully
Fantastic. Well, thanks you guys for telling us about the event, and we'll see you out here on the 10th, 11th, and 12th for the arcade. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to the guys at the lab. Go check out their facility as well. And thanks for joining us, as always, on the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. We'll see you.
This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.